pray. Lord, there are many different perspectives that we can take concerning this life, but today as we study your word, give us yours. Amen. A few years ago, I was talking with a buddy of mine. He's retired. He lives down in Texas, and I stopped by his house, and he was sharing with me all the jobs that he had prior to retirement. And one of the pictures he pulled out was this. He used to work on these things. They're called walking drag lines. Ultimately, they're massive shovels. They weigh around 10 million pounds. And he said each of those back then in the 1970s cost about $12 million to make and over 100,000 man hours to put together. And just notice how large they are in comparison to the little cars on the road there. These things are gigantic. So with this particular job, it took him all over the place, Canada, the United States, the Caribbean. He had to relocate his family multiple times, and at times he would be away from his wife and children for weeks on end. And if you talk to his wife, she would tell you that he was married to his work. Well, eventually, he was let go, unexpectedly. And that was pretty traumatic for him. And he even recounts that both of these machines that he spent so much of his life putting together were dismantled in the 1990s and turned into scrap. And so what my friend had to do when that happened was ask the question, what was it all for? Why did I spend so much time doing something? I love doing it, but all of a sudden it was ripped away from me, and then all that time and effort and money was then all of a sudden dismantled and used for scrap. Was what I did, what I poured my life into, was it meaningless or meaningful? And these are all questions that you and I need to ask ourselves as well, because we've all been part of projects, big or small. They've kept us up at night. They've caused us anxiety. They've cost us money. They've cost us time, time that we'll never get back. And we wonder too, what was it all for? Why did I put so much effort into this? Was it worth it, or was it meaningless? And the answer to these questions is, it depends. It depends on your perspective. And that's what we're going to talk about these next few weeks as we dive into the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the Old Testament book of the Bible, and that funky name comes from the Greek language, and all it means is teacher. And it's taken from the first line of the first verse. And this is what that first line, first verse says. It says, the words of the teacher, so Ecclesiastes, son of David, king in Jerusalem. And it's widely believed that King Solomon is the one who wrote this. He was the son of David. He was also king in Jerusalem. And even though Solomon lived almost over 3,000 years ago, and literally his life is ancient history, the words that he shares with us in this book are still as relevant as they were back then as they will be today for us. And Solomon, the teacher's story, is both amazing and tragic at the same time. You can read his history in the book of 1 Kings, and it talks about how God approached Solomon in a dream one night, and he asked him, he said to him, tell me or ask me for anything that you want, and I'll give it to you. Now, all of us have seen the movies with the genie and the lamp, and we've all wanted, I know I have, to be able to ask for those three wishes. But he had something, someone much greater than a genie standing before him. He had God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, who literally could give him anything his heart desired. And Solomon did not ask for health, wealth, the death of his enemies. He simply asked for wisdom. He was a brand new king. He had a large, massive kingdom. And he's like, how do I rule these people? And so he said, God, give me a discerning heart, a heart that is able to determine what is right and what is wrong. And because of that selfless prayer, God was so pleased with him. Not only did he give him what he asked for, he gave him what he didn't ask for. He gave him wealth and health and honor and wisdom. And at the end of that, God said to him, if you continue to follow my decrees, just like your father David did, I will give you long life. And initially, that's what Solomon did. He followed the Lord's decrees. He grew in stature and wisdom, and it tells us that people from all over the world, from every nation, came to sit at Solomon's feet to hear his wise words, to learn from him, to grow from what he had received from God. Not just spiritual wisdom, but also earthly wisdom, science, and all these other things that he delved into. And he grew in this honor. Solomon was loved by the Lord. He loved the Lord. But if you know anything about Solomon's story, he also loved women. 1,000 of them, to be exact. Scripture tells us that he had 700 royal wives and 300 concubines. And as he grew older, these women started to turn his heart away from the Lord and to start to worship false gods. And he started to stray away from the Lord. And that's what Solomon actually documents here for us in the book of Ecclesiastes. He talks about his time apart from God. And so it's, in essence, it's his diary detailing his life of observations when he was trying to find meaning without the Lord. And this is what his preliminary conclusion was. Take a look at this. He says, "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever." So what's the first word here? Everybody say it. Meaningless. This is the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you're joining us for the first time, I apologize. Because it's depressing, isn't it? He uses this sad word 38 times throughout his diary here. Warning all of us that if we are seeking life, if you are seeking life apart from God, having this under-the-sun perspective, it will be meaningless. And 28 times in this book, he uses that phrase, under the sun. And what that means, ultimately, is that it's this worldly, earth-bound perspective. It doesn't see beyond the here and now. It doesn't look into the spiritual. It doesn't see God in heaven. It's all about what's happening here on this earth. So in chapter 1, Solomon goes on to share his observations about how the earth operates. He talks about the sun and the wind and the water and his observation about how the earth continues to go round and round without our help. You've all noticed that the sun rises and the sun sets whether you want it to or not. That the wind blows from the north to the south and cycles around and keeps doing the same thing over and over again. That the waters come down from the mountains into the seas and the oceans, they never fill them and they constantly go back to where they came from. The earth continues to spin on its axis, and generations come and go, and they're remembered or forgotten, but they're never remembered for what they want to be remembered for. And this frustrated Solomon. It made him angry that the world keeps going around while we keep living and dying. And it felt like it didn't matter, and his mantra throughout is meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. And so Solomon, the scientist of sorts, decides that he's going to embark on this journey to try to find meaning under the sun apart from God. And he came up with these hypotheses. He conducted all kinds of tests to see if these things would bring him meaning in this life. And so in chapter 2, he details some of his trials and errors and some of the tests. And one of them was he enjoyed wine and alcohol as much as he could to find happiness in his life. He also undertook all kinds of projects. He built multiple homes. He planted vineyards. He made gardens and parks. He made reservoirs to be able to feed those with water. He accumulated male and female slaves. He owned more livestock than anyone else around him. He amassed silver and gold. He gathered together a massive choir for his entertainment, and he married as many women as he possibly could. He admits in chapter 2, he says, "I did whatever I wanted to do. I got whatever I wanted. Nothing was off limits." And at first, it felt amazing. But eventually, those feelings of joy left him. And he came to this conclusion. "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was," what? "Meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So he embarked on all these challenges, all these opportunities. He accomplished all these things. He steps back and he looks at it, and he feels like he just caught the wind. Nothing. Meaningless. All this hard toil under the hot sun, and what do I have? It seems meaningless. Can you relate to that mindset? Have you ever stepped back and looked at what you've accomplished in your long or short life and thought, what was it all for? Tom Brady, football player, he asked those questions. In 2005, he had won his third Super Bowl, and he sat down with 60 Minutes to do an interview. And as they're talking to him, now, mind you, let me just give you a little backstory. If you don't know who Tom Brady is, I'm just assuming too much here. He is the current quarterback for the Buccaneers. He used to play for the Patriots forever and ever. He's the quarterback that everyone loves to hate, right? So he's actually won 7 Super Bowls. He won 4 after this interview I'm about to share with you. But he won 3 of them. And they sit down with him and ask him, what's it like? And this is what he says.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, I've done it. I'm 27. And what else is there for me?
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I mean, I think that's part of me trying to go out and experience other things. But I love playing football and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find and different ways of expression, being around. I know what ultimately makes me happy are family and friends and positive relationships with great people. And I think I get more out of that than anything.
So every NFL player's dream is to win a what? A Super Bowl. That's the pinnacle of their career. And at that point, he had won 3. And every time he had won, he's like, ugh. Is that it? Like a little party, some confetti, and then I go back to work and do it all over again to get a party, some confetti, and then... And at that point, I don't know where Tom Brady is today, but at that point, it was, what would be the word he'd use? Meaningless, right? And that is where life under the sun, that kind of perspective is going to ultimately bring you. That no matter what you do, no matter what you accomplish in this life, it's never enough. It's never truly fulfilling. Have you ever tried to find happiness through alcohol? But then after you've emptied that bottle, you feel just as empty as what you're holding in your hand? Have you ever tried to find meaning and purpose in endless projects and the accumulation of more and more stuff, but you never truly feel satisfied? Have you poured yourself into romantic relationships or endless entertainment and pleasures and only to find out that none of that fills your greatest need? Meaningless, meaningless, depending on your perspective, everything can feel meaningless. And after that long list of things that he tried to do, and even after I showed you what he said, he wasn't done yet. He was still trying to figure out, maybe there's some other things I can try to figure out if I can still find meaning apart from God. And so he delved into wisdom, more wisdom. And he saw what foolish people do. And his conclusion was, well, it's better to be wise than foolish. Your life is going to be better. And so he read as many books as possible. He got as many degrees as possible. But in the end, he takes a step back and he goes, ugh. But you know what? The same thing happens to fools as it does to wise people. In the end, we all die. So what's the point? Yeah, you can read as many books as you want. You can get as many degrees as you want, but you can't avoid going to the grave one day in the future. And the more that Solomon viewed his life this way, it says in chapter 2 that he hated it. He hated his life. He hated the things that he had accomplished. He hated the fact that one day somebody younger than he was going to take all of his stuff, all of his accomplishments, and do whatever they wanted with him. And that made him mad. Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless if you have this under the sun perspective. It's a very sad and lonely place to be. But as you read through the entire book of Ecclesiastes, and even here at the end of chapter 2, what you find out is that as far as Solomon ran away from God, God didn't run away from Solomon. God pursued him, and Solomon starts to have these glimmers of reality. And this is what he says. He's coming to his senses. He says, a person can do nothing better, and he's not being sarcastic here. He says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from, read it with me, the hand of God. So without God, under the sun, everything is what? Meaningless. But now as you take from the hand of God, wow, I can actually find satisfaction. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? He tried it. Without God, you cannot eat and find enjoyment. He goes on, to the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So you can live your life to please God. Now, if we're all honest, we'd say we're sinners, right? But if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're a God-pleaser. And he says, you will have meaning if you're a God-pleaser. But if you're not a God-pleaser, then it's all meaningless. It's a chasing after the wind. Now remember, Solomon started off his life following God. And then he went through this long period where he rejected God, and he said, I'm going to try to figure this out on my own. But when he tried to figure it out on his own, what he determined was that apart from God, there is no lasting meaning, there is no lasting satisfaction, there is no lasting enjoyment or happiness. But when he once again realized that his works and his accomplishments were a gift from God, and he stopped living for his own personal pleasures, but he started to live his life to please the Creator, then he found meaning in the meaningless. He found satisfaction in his work. He began to enjoy life and experience true happiness. Solomon now viewed life from a different perspective, a godly, eternal perspective that is not limited to what we see here on this earth under the sun, but it goes beyond what we see to the unseen. It goes beyond the physical and penetrates the soul. And this is the perspective that we are all invited to view life through. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament encourages us, and he tells us about King Solomon's descendant and how he came into this world to give us this eternal perspective. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, For Jesus Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, that Jesus Christ died for you. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Jesus Christ, the human descendant of King Solomon and the Son of God, died on the cross and rose from the dead to take away our under-the-sun perspective and to give us a brand new perspective that I like to call under the sun of God. To see the world through God's eyes and not through our eyes. Finding our true purpose and meaning from Jesus and not from the gifts that Jesus gives us. Living our lives not to please ourselves, but to please him in everything that we do. Not running after alcohol to fill us up. Not running after endless projects to give us meaning. Not pursuing money, property, possessions, relationships, or degrees to fill a void that only Jesus can fill. Christ's love compels us, and not only compels us, but allows us to find meaning in the meaningless. And that's what happened for my friend. Those 2 years following his being fired, he admits that they were some of the hardest years of his life, because at that time he had an under-the-sun perspective. But as he started to grow in his relationship with Jesus, he started to have an under-the-sun of God perspective. And he looks back and he's able to thank God that he went through those trying times. Because after that, he was allowed to go wherever he wanted to, and he was able to pick up, and that's when they moved to Texas, and they surrounded themselves with a Christian community where his children were able to receive a Christian education. At that time, his job allowed him the flexibility that when his in-laws were sick, that he was able to travel to Canada and be with them by their sides and encourage them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and let them know that their sins had been nailed to the cross, that they were God's children. Having gone through this, my friend now has this perspective, the heavenly perspective, that he's able to find meaning in the meaningless. The same is true for Sydney McLaughlin. Anyone know that name? She's a two-time Olympian. This past summer in Tokyo, she got gold in the 400-meter hurdles by breaking her own world record. It's a pretty big deal. Any Olympian that goes to the Olympics wants to win gold, and they want to break records. That's like the pinnacle of it all. And yet, this is what she tweeted out. Read it with me. Records come and go. The glory of God is eternal. Right after she broke her own record, that's what she tweeted. Records come and go. The glory of God is eternal. She has an under the Son of God perspective. And she'll admit to you that it wasn't always that way. In fact, it was last year when she received the gift of baptism. And there was a picture of that, and this is the caption. She says, "For 21 years, I was running from the greatest gift I could ever receive. I was running from the greatest gift I could ever receive, and by his grace, I have been saved. I no longer live, but Christ in me. My past has been made clean because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Because of Jesus, the Son of God, she is able to find meaning in the meaningless. And this is what God wants for you. You don't have to perform a lengthy scientific experiment like Solomon did to try to figure out if there's meaning without God. He went through all the hard work for you. He did all the tests. He took all the observations. He wrote a long report. And at over thousands of years, it's been verified that life under the sun without God is meaningless. But when you find your life in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, it is meaningful. Grab your bulletin for me. On the back side there, I have some questions. And the final one, number 5, it says your challenge. And this is what I would like to challenge you all to do. I want you to start just doing it for a week. And I pray this will become a habit for you. But it says this. This week, every time you go to class, study, or work, pray and dedicate your work to God and his glory. Invite Jesus to be present with you and to work in you and through you so that you will find meaning in what some call meaningless. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the story, the testimony of Solomon that's laid out for us here today in Ecclesiastes. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to follow down that same path, that Solomon has done all the hard work for us already. And Lord, in our own short experiences, we realize that apart from you, there is no meaning. But Jesus, you have changed our lives. You sacrificed your life for ours to give us life and give us life to the fullest. Lord, help us to dedicate everything we do whether it seems mundane or monumentous, that we would dedicate it to your glory, Jesus. Because records, they come and go, but your glory is eternal. Amen.